Greetings, dear ones. I'm Cryon of Magnetic Service. I wish to give a message that has never been given before. Attributes which have never been heard before. Because I sit in this place. This is a specific message that can only be given here. And it's time to give it. For there are those who will take this, understand it, who are listening to this, who are even not in this room. It's beautiful, for it talks about the teaching of the Pleiadian mothers. Specifically, how it was done, what was taught, why it was taught, and who learned it. I could not give this message unless I was in this place on this mountaintop where it happened. It did not happen on the top, it happened to the shore. But this is the mountain. And you're here, and I'm here. I could not give this message unless I was surrounded right now on both sides by Lemurian teachers. And they're here. I use their Akash as well as that which is what Cryon knows to bring it to you in a way you'll understand. Dear ones, what I present at this moment will be studied for what it is. And some of it is cryptic. Some of it will only be understood by the teachers of the teachers of today. Some of it will only be understood by physicists, believe it or not. Where do I begin? This mountain was used as an Akashic launching pad for truth. What would the first lessons be from a star mother to human beings who had arrived, who had the 23, the chromosomes? What would the information be like? What would the purity of it be, or the simplicity of it be? So that wherever they incarnated the next time and the next time, this would follow them in their Akash. They would know it. They would remember it. With free choice, they'd use some of it or not. With intellect and the culture that they would become, some of it would be important. Some of it would grow. Some of it would be thrown away. That's free choice. But I'm going to give you the raw truth that was taught right at the beginning, right from the children to the adults. I'm going to tell you what it was and why. It was different than you might imagine. There is wisdom in all that I'm going to tell you from those from the stars. You picture, perhaps, human beings gathered like this in a place where they sit and watch a teacher. And it wasn't that way at all. It started early. And what was taught was based around a shape. And from children to adults, the shape remained the same. It was complex because what was within the shape was then evolved. Let me explain. First and most complex, the shape. A wheel. A circle with spokes to the center. The spokes to the center were number five. Five spokes to the center around the wheel. My partner, go slow. I'm going to give these things to you. You've never heard them before. And I'm going to give you visualizations that you will then enhance upon, using also the Akash of the two who sit next to you, in how this looked and what happened, what it felt like. The teacher, the Lemurian teacher who was Pleiadian, always a woman, would not be at the center, would always walk around the circle when teaching. So there never was an exalted place. It started with the children. If you were a Lemurian, and so many of you were, you got this as a child. The circle had a name. But let me explain first why five. The name and the number go together, and it's not numerology. This was long before numerology, long before the human being saw the energies of the numbers and developed systems. This was raw. There was five. Five spokes to the center. The wheel had a name. Seeking Balance was the name of the wheel. And they called it a wheel, although it was then put before them on the ground for them to study. A circle on the ground with five spokes from that which circled it to the center. Why five? Dear ones, five is not that which you expect. Almost everything in nature is balanced with pairs. The push-pull energy of the galaxy, the yin and the yang, the light and the dark, the laws of physics, the strong and the weak, everything is paired up, but not five. Seeking balance was the subject of this sacred wheel. And the spokes all had names, and they would be explained to the children, to the adults. Why five? And now we get into what the Pleiadians wanted humanity to understand and know from the beginning. Magnetic fields. This won't take long. Don't check out if you don't like science. The basics of magnetics at the very prime information, super simple. Physicists, forgive me for this. Super simple. An atom which has too many electrons versus an atom which doesn't have enough creates a plus and a minus pull as they try to connect with one another to balance themselves. This is a magnetic field. This is the bipolarness of a magnet, the plus and the minus. We have told you since we started giving you physics that magnetism is one of the only things in standard physics that begs to be changed. And that there are ways, the relationship between these parts, these atoms with too many and the atoms with too few. If you can figure out how to manipulate the many to the few and the few to the many, you change the relationship to the parts, you manipulate the balance of physics, and you can do anything. This wheel is five. For it begs for balance, even within the shape of the teaching of the wheel. Five. It creates six spaces. Five spokes create six spaces. Even before the numerology, the six was known as a balanced number. The teacher, always the one that was the star mother. Beautiful. Lovely to behold, for it was always in benevolence and compassion The children loved the mothers. Children before the age of 7 had pretend wheels. They never got to play with or learn from a Pleiadian mother until they were 7. There was a ceremony around that when they could begin to sit as children around a wheel with a Pleiadian mother. Children were taught from the age of 7 to 13. At 13, there was then a gender split. And from 13 on, the wheels were taught to the men separately, then to the women. 13 was the average representation of menses. Mothers were starting to be mothers. And that changed everything. But then they were available for sacredness that the men necessarily didn't even want to know. For they understood the differences and the honoring between the men and the women in Lemuria. There was a big difference in the tasking. What they did well is what they did. There was no separation due to class. The separation was what they did well. You didn't ask men to have babies. You didn't ask women to fish. Let me tell you how this worked. The women stayed and they studied. They had their children and they did education. They were the ones who were the most intuitive to tell the men where to fish, what to do, how to do it. The men sat and listened because it worked. The women didn't want any part of fishing. They were good at what they did. They birthed. They taught. They learned. They become the shamans. And they got the advanced information. I want to give you some other information about the men and the women. The men would never, ever think of going to sea and the trouble of catching that catch and then give it to a woman to cook. It was their fish. There are some jokes that the Lemurian men told about the women and the Lemurian women told about the men. Are they appropriate? I'm going to ask the ancestors, which are represented to my left, may I tell these? And the ancestors said, no. I am Cryon, I do not answer to the ancestors. And here's how the jokes go. They're short. The men get together and they joke, don't ever give a woman a fish. She won't know what to do with it and it'll end up just being blessed and go into ceremony. The men knew that. The women would get together, do not ever let the men discover the elements of the sacred circles because they'll try to cook them. Those were the jokes. Now, why the ancestors didn't want me to say anything, I'm not really certain. It was divided. It was beautiful. And the tasks were one that made sense. Back to the children, back to the circle, back to the teaching. Creating balance. The wheel had that name. 5 spokes. The children would sit around the wheel. Basic information at the beginning. And that is what I'm going to discuss with you because it changed. How can you teach one wheel for a lifetime? I'll show it to you. I'll tell it to you. You'll understand the complexity, but it starts extremely simple. The children sit in a circle. pleading teacher walks around the wheel. Now, this is important. There's no position of importance. So the teacher is always moving, so that the human being does not linearize the process. And that goes for what is discussed within the wheel. Mothers of the children are always present. Always. From 7 years old to 13. And this also is for a reason. The children do not learn in a vacuum. What they are given and shown, they can discuss intelligently with the parents, because the parents are there for their learning. The men, of course, are fishing. This is the way of it. Dear ones, look at this and the reasons for it. Because the women have the intuition that they need for the children. The men, it is not that for them. They have other things. They have the intuition to build the villages, to put together the things for survival, to make sure their families are cared for, to go find the fruit, to go find the food. And the women stay and they teach and they learn. Five spokes, all going to a center. Now I will reveal something about the center. This was the extent of the teaching of all of the Pleiadians. One wheel laid on the ground, quite large, with children and adults both sitting around their circumference. All the spokes went to the center. Now the center was not small. It was actually oversized. It came to be known as the Great Center. In the middle of this, the human being could put whatever they wanted to represent the grandness of the center. It was not lost upon any of them that the sun might be that which they could imagine there, for they knew of the simple astronomy that the Pleiadians told them of, the earth going around the sun, creating the seasons, spinning along its way, creating night and day. And from the beginning, even the children understood that the center perhaps could metaphorically be represented as a sun. At night, when special teachings were given, they had a flame that they would light there, representing a sun. Flame on that which was fish oil, which then burned. Pretty soon, it got a nickname, the Great Central Sun. And if you have followed my teachings for 28 years, now you know what it is. It's not something in your galaxy. It's not something in the universe. It is not something that you go around. It is the center of all learning. It is the center of all truth. All the spokes come and go from this, the center, the Great Central Sun. From the beginning, we have used the expression, and you didn't know what it is. Now, past 2012, you can remember what it is. And you were involved. The spokes had names. They had teachings. I'm going to give you each one. The children memorized the names because they didn't make sense. Like you memorize some things in school that then later will make sense. Before you ever really understood the times tables, you are memorizing them. Before you understood grammar, sometimes you were memorizing the rules. Children are good at this. They memorize the five names of the spokes because they're going to need them. Because they keep changing, not in their names, but in what they mean. They mean something to a 7-year-old, and they need something else to a 14-year-old. And oh, they mean so much more to a 30-year-old and a 40-year-old. And by the time you're done with the teaching, you expect the wheel itself to ascend, filled with such grand truth it is, as the spokes began to evolve in their simplest of meanings and their names. In an elementary way, as I give you the names, right from the beginning, the children have an idea what the spokes mean, and all of them are wrong. The spokes actually have energy in both directions, from the center to the circumference, to the circumference, to the center. But that's not how they're seen at all at first. They're simply spokes with names. Let me give you the names. But first, let me tell you how those were presented every single time it was taught, whether there was children or adults. When the Pleiadian teacher began, she would say, "Let the numbers game begin." There was a game of numbers, not puzzles, a game. And each person around the circumference of the circle would participate in a numbers game that would then end appropriately with a certain individual. Whether they were young people, children, or adults, the game was always the same. Wherever the numbers game stopped, the closest spoke to that person that had not been studied that day would then be studied and identified. In the wisdom of the teacher, this meant there was no hierarchy of spokedom. There was nothing that they started or ending with. There was no list. There was no, this is more important. No hierarchy at all. Seemingly, the game would then choose the spoke to be identified or studied. Do you see the wisdom in this? Nothing was more important than anything else because it all centered around a circle with no beginning and no end. So let's pretend that the numbers have been done. And we're going to identify the spokes, not in a hierarchical order at all. I'll give you their names. I'll tell you what the children thought they meant, and then I'll tell you what they really meant. And in that, you can see how you could study one spoke for a lifetime and never really learn. Simple names. I paraphrase the names because I do not give you the language of the day. I give you the best I can and what the language meant to the children. And this is where I start. The first time they heard the names, spoke number one that is studied. Not the most important, not the least important, simply the first one. Chosen by the game. Chosen by the game. It's called center return. Center return. Center return. The children got it right away. They said, "Well, this is our Pleiadian mother from the stars. There has to be a place where we go when we're finished here." You see, the idea of the essence of a soul was right there with them. And they all said, "Yes. When we're done here, we return to the center, the great central sun, where all things emanate from. The center, the beautiful center. Center return." And they memorized center return. I'm going to give you the name of the spokes, and then we're going to back up and give you the meanings, the real meanings. The second spoke that was studied, star steering. Star steering. The children were very excited about this because they knew the Pleiadians came from the stars. In order to get here, they had to steer their way somehow. And they said, this is going to be a spoke eventually, where we're going to be taught how to steer among the stars. We can do what the mothers have done. Yes, we get that. We get that star steering. Number three, difficult. Child life. What could that mean, child life? The children said, this is the name of the spoke giving today. It'll change tomorrow when we're older. This is for us, we're children. It's the life that we have as a child. We're going to be taught how that works, child life. Number four, human God. They memorized these names, human God. This was the first time they said, there has to be a prophet. There has to be something that's going to happen, a human who becomes God. This is going to be for the future. We don't understand it. We don't understand the name, human God. Number five, simple, but not so simple. It was called the mirror. The mirror. Five spokes, odd names, memorized by the children. And then it started. Slowly, methodically, simply and with elegance, the mothers would start teaching what the spokes were. And to the children, the childlike ideas were enhanced slowly, four children. And then every session and every year got a little harder. The children got the idea only in the third year that the spokes worked both ways, center to the outside, outside to the center. But rather than giving you the lessons and all the permutations and permeations of the lessons, let me just give you the truth, the purity of the spokes, the five basic truths that these Pleiadian mothers wanted to give to human beings placed into their Akash, so that when they left Lemuria, they would know, center return, that's reincarnation. The whole idea that you go both ways. You come and go from the great central sun. Did you study this today? Did you see the beauty, the elegance, the complexity, the honor, the love that went into a system that allows you to come and go from that which you call a center, the creative source? Soon the children, which were getting older, understood that the great central sun, that hub, sometimes we'd had a fire, sometimes a piece of fruit, whatever it was the God, the spirit, where everything was. This became the creative source. Very difficult to tell a child about the creative source unless year after year they're exposed to elegant teaching and layers of understanding. That was spoke number one, the beauty of the return to the center and then from the center to the outside and back. The idea that you never, ever die. And this was what was taught to the children. Death is a transition. It is not to be feared. For you, the essence of you comes back. The body wears out, the soul does not. And that is spoke number one. Beautiful. It's also spoke number five. It's also spoke number three, two, and four. Depending on the game. It's the first one that we study today. Star steering. You're going to love this. That is how your life can be steered by the stars. It is astrology.
Star steering.
Right from the beginning. We've explained why astrology works. We're not going to do it again just to say it works, because it has to do with physics, not esoterics, physics. It has to do with your sun's magnetic field and gravity, and they're related. It has to do with the imprint of your sun, of the gravitational pull of the planets, which the children see as stars. They're simply lights in the sky. And that pattern is then pushed to this planet by the solar wind and accepted by your gravitation and your magnetic field. Have you ever seen the aurora borealis? This is the sparks where the solar wind and your magnetic field combine and information is put onto the planet. Star steering was the name given to the idea that what you see in the heavens may affect who you are and what you do, depending upon the time of birth. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's the same in the northern or the southern hemisphere. You could study that all your life. Do you see that? You could study that which is what you would call the reincarnate human soul all your life. It wasn't called reincarnation. That speaks of a separation. Carnate, non-carnate. It was something complete. It was a circle of life. It was a circle of beauty. It was a circle of love. It was no death. Two concepts. Beautiful. Simple at first and complex. The third one that was studied that we'll show you today, childlife. Oh, you won't understand this. And some of you will scratch your heads. This is one of the basic spokes that is so important. And here it is, dear ones. The longer you can maintain that which is the attitude, the elegance, the humor, and the joy of the child, the longer you will live. Child life, don't lose it. The children are taught from birth what you have now may go away if you're not careful. Don't lose this, because you'll start dying as soon as you do. Disease can attach you as long as you have dropped it. But as long as you have the joy, the excitement of the little child that you are now, dear ones, was taught, as long as you do, you will live a very long life. Don't drop it. Remember it. No matter what occurs, no matter what sorrow is there, no matter what you have to wade through as an adult later, don't lose this. Don't forget it. Child life. It will affect the length of your life, and you will start dying as soon as it's gone. How important do you think that spoke is? It talks about the health of the human being. It talks about that which you have that is an attribute of human nature, which talks to the biology. Can you imagine how long that spoke could be studied? Mind over matter. But what in the mind is the most important thing? Don't lose the kid inside. That's what the Pleiadian mom says. Don't forget it. It's primal to existence. Number four, human God. This is the training that says that the great central sun, the hub, the spoke, is allied to the outside. It goes both ways. You are God. God is you. You are sacred. From the beginning, and the elegance of not understanding and memorizing two words to the advanced lessons of what it is like to know you're part of that hub. And that is why you reincarnate. One hub starts to relate to the others. That's then the advancement. There aren't five. There are layers of the five that talk to each other. And four talks to one, and two talks to three. That is the elegance, the complexity of the wheel of the five. The God in you, it never goes away. And the child is taught that there is a relationship to the hub, a beautiful one, and that you will learn more about it, but get used to it. They're taught, I am the hub, which later becomes, I am sacred. I am God. Beautiful. Number five, the most mysterious, the mirror. Children didn't understand the mirror until they got a little older. And they said, yes, we think we know. We think we know. You've got to take a good look at yourself. Clean up your act. Behave better for your parents. Look in the mirror at yourself. Be reflective. They got it wrong. And now I'll tell you what the mirror is, if I can. The mirror. How can I tell you this? You get to see yourself and God together in the mirror. And you don't see yourself. What you see is God. And you don't look at a mirror, you look at another human being. And the mirror is in them. That's just the first layer of training and teaching. Looking for God and looking for you in others. A commonality where there is a oneness in all things. Then the mirror starts to reflect that which is Gaia. Nature. It starts to mirror the human, and the human mirrors it in the compassion, the systems, the way they work. You might say that the mirror is an elevated study. Perhaps it is, but it is equal to all of the others. The mirror to this day is misunderstood. It is the oneness of all things together. It is the study of all. It is the study of one. It is the derivative, get ready. It is the derivative of I am that I am. That's the five. Can you see why at a certain point that the teaching would take off for what you call the sisterhood? Where the women would then have that which they needed to know as shamans. And the men would know enough to know that there was an elegance that they were not being taught because they were not necessarily equipped for the intuition that it would require. And all of them understood this. All of them. This is the story, dear ones, of the beginning teaching and this mountain by those from the stars. This is what they meant. This is who was involved. And it continued for thousands of years. The basic truths, the basic ones, the ones that would create humans who would get a chance to know and awaken someday to continue the study of the wheel. Welcome to the continuation of the wheel. Call it what you want. Everything you've learned today and seen is part of it. Everything. And will continue to be. I want you to take a moment and congratulate yourselves for coming through a time frame that many did not come through. for the awakening of the nodes and the nulls, the Pleiadian mother's return, to feeling things that you didn't think you'd feel, to having understandings to go home with you didn't think you'd understand. There's much to know and to remember, dear Lemurian. That's enough for now. And so it is.